Excuse me, but you'll want this event for order. You right now? Well, then, don't ask of me about old Charlie Jochen from Peel. He fought in the Battle of Trafalgar, October 1805. Well, I was a young fella. I was fetched to Peel by my father and mother, along with my sister. We went to see old Charlie. Here he was, boy, lying in bed, and only one eye. He was a powder monkey on board of the Victory, and he got his eye shot out the air. Now, I was shaking hands with that man, and I am at the present time 76. So what age was I, or what age was he, at the Battle of Trafalgar? And what age would I be when I was there? That was in the year 1801. 1881 when I seen it. And I shook hands with that, and I doubt very much if there's many alive today that shook hands with men that have fought in Trafalgar. Well, man, you're asking me, did I know any celebrities? I can remember one well. I was fetched to Peel with my father and mother, and when we went to see old Charlie Jochen. He was taken with his father out of the boat by the press gang, and he pressed into the navy, and he was on board of the Victory, a powder monkey, and he got one eye shot out. Well, looking at him, we were fetched to see him, and we're looking at him lying in bed. He stretched out that bony hand to shake hands, and do you know, I remember that face as well as if it was yesterday. Listen, I remember that face as well, man, as if it was yesterday. The old man lying there with the one eye and a white head. It's a thing that was pressed on my memory, and I'll never forget. Now then. I am now 76 years, so you can just judge. The Battle of Trafalgar was fought in October 1885, and we seen old Charlie that time in the year 1881. He died very shortly after, and he was put to rest in Peel Cemetery.
Now, in your younger days, you were you served your time as a blacksmith, didn't you?
Yes.
Or in the first place, where did you go to school?
What?
Where did you go to school?
Oh, me?
Aye.
Jerby.
At Jerby?
Aye.
At what age were you started? Where did you start school?
To go to school?
Mm.
I went to school, and I got about, I knocked off, I was knocked from school in August. I was 12 in April, and I was knocked off in August, and I swung then a 9-pound hammer over me head.
You did? Well,
and our hours wasn't that was short. We started work at 6 in the morning, and we knocked off at 8 at night.
No 44-hour week?
There was no... What?
So?
No 44-hour week. You're lucky if you got off at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And you'd take, when you'd start work in the morning, you could hang your clothes up, coat and waistcoat, and you needn't look for them till after 8 at night.
Going hard all the time.
Going hard all the time. Yes. But
well,
5 of us. All together.
And what time did you knock off for meals?
What?
What time did you knock off for meals?
About 20 minutes at 8 o'clock. And 12 o'clock. And many a time you started again at about 20 minutes past 12. Then you knocked off at 4 o'clock for 20 minutes for tea. You ran on then from that till 8, many a night 10. And no overtime.
Those were the days.
What?
Those were the days.
Those were the good days. That were the days, lad, that built Great Britain. And today are the days they're spending it.
Quite so. Do you remember the first thrashing machine, the first reaper coming to the island? Did you ever see that?
No, the first binder.
The first binder?
Yes.
Now, what sort of a contraption was it?
It was much after the style of the ones they have today. Much after.
Now, do you ever remember the scythe, 6 foot long?
No.
Do you ever remember that big scythe?
That big long size, no. You're 5 feet, though. 5 feet at the most for cutting that a hay.
Yes.
There was a lot of mowing done in them days. No, now. Then John Ferguson made a machine, and he put a turn, that was the first turned up pointer we had. Even, you could take Harrison McGregor, Hornsby's, and them, they come over for to see that machine. It was exhibited in the cattle show in Ramsey.
Where was this machine made?
In Kirkbride.
Yes.
John Ferguson.
And it was a success?
A success. Mm. It was such a success that they are followed, making them pointer today.
Mm. And was Ferguson the Manxman?
Yes, he was. Why? You see, you ask, was Ferguson a Manxman? I say yes. You see, we're 15 miles from the point of air to the Ross. Now, they had big yawls in them days going out fishing. The consequence was those big yawls on the Scotch side and those big yawls on the Manx side. Time didn't count, so the Manx chaps, a whole dozen of them, would get one of the big yawls, launch her off and lift the sail. And by the time he got 8 miles down, he meet a dozen Scotchmen coming to Kirkbride. So, for a nice scooting. And if you're held, well, you would stop for a week. And the same happened to the Mikesless on the Scotch side. That's the reason there are so many Scotchmen on the north of the island.
And
so many Manx men round Kirkcudbright.
Well, in those days, was that old law in force about the Scotchman being shot on sight?
You men, that's the old law. A Scotchman, if he was caught after he was 24 hours in the Isle of Man, they put him in a cart and put him to Hango Hill. and hanged him. No, it couldn't be. It must have been before that.
You never remember it?
No. It must have been before that.
Ah, yes.
No. We came, we were going back on our records. We came to the island with King Harry and with the Christians built out. I can't remember. Huh?
The some of the Christians Milltown in Douglas today. Some of their families.
I suppose there will be.
Yes.
And there's one, a very prominent man in South Africa.
Yes.
Well, I got a bit of ground in Andrestown. That's where we came, not to Derby, Andres, with our proper parish. I've got a bit of ground there, and we reckon it was given to my forefathers by King Harry. It isn't much, only 12, there's only 11 acres, that's all. But yet it's something.
Well, that's been in your family for some considerable time then.
Oh, about 1,000 years.
Yes.
Aye. They want to know about the Bogans. I was one night, man. I went down with two girls to St. Jude's. That was 4 miles. And I stopped, it was very near 12 o'clock. I was coming on the road home, and when I got on a part of the road, it struck me about who used to hear about the Bogans. Well, I was coming, and it was a little drizzle of rain there. Well, on I was coming though, and I had the old irons clinking. I said, I'm caught at last. But anyway, I've always had it was very unlucky to turn back, or to go the other side of the road. So I kept on. I was hearing this clink, 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 clink. Ah, so coming, man, I was getting a bit nearer to it. And, oh, me, how I said, I'm going to see now when I'm so near anyway, because I was right opposite. I went to the hedge, it was dark, though. And I looked, and here there was 2 or 3 trees, and there was 3 colts. With iron like I saw, and they were rubbing their stand against the tree, and they were tumping their feet, clinking their hands. So I solved the mystery of that again.
Yes.
Well, that went a lot, though. That was another night out, a Saturday night this night, though. And I was coming on a test, too. And I was coming home. Well, I was coming, the moon was just getting up, man. And here I was coming, oh boy, I looked. And here I seen himself looking through the gorse bush. I said, I'm took for all. And I stooped and I picked a bit of a stone up, about 5 or 6 pound weight. And I said, I'll hit anyway, I'll chance it. And when I come up, here he was, the 2 horns boy stuck up, 2 candles blazing for eyes in them, and a long beard. Oh, I came a bit closer. And who was it but old James Slack's Billy Goat? I was that mad that I was taken in by the cussed thing. I opened the stone and I let him have it. Well, that was all right. Sunday morning came, but a man staying with him, and he came to me and he said, I know, quat, boy. Quat, I said to him. What happened, boy? Oh, he said, Uncle James's Billy Coat, he said, is dead. So I hit it on the head, you know, and he said, and split the skull on it. That was done. He was gone.
The last of that began.
That was the last of that began. That was too caught.
Mm.
Then the next weekend, Jim Kelly, lad, he's been up here, as you bless here. Will win.
Yes.
Well, Will's were home this night, and when he got to about 4 yards off the house, the moon was just coming, and there was a big tree there, and it was all moving, you know. And he came and he looked, and by songs he seen the bogan and the tree. And he wouldn't venture to go home. He'd only been to go 30 yards and he'd been in the house. Well, what am I longing? Back he comes and he came into our house and the wind was out of him. And he was as quiet as the wall. Well, cut up, Will. Well, I'd go to bed, you know. Cut up, Will. Well, it was made fun of him anyway. We made sport. Well, it was all right. He wouldn't. So, would I go down with him? Yes, I'll go with you. Quick enough. I away off with him, you know. We got down and we turned the corner. And then going away to the left. Turned the corner. It is, he said. Caught me by the arm. I looked. I started to laugh. You know, on this. There's no laughing matter for you, said. That's no laughing matter. How are we going to get past it? Get out, I said, Brent, don't be foolish. And the old shadow is in the tree. And that's what I was saying. His own shadow and the branches of the tree moving over it.
The moon reflecting his shadow.
Huh?
The moon reflecting his shadow.
Reflecting on the shadow, yes. Yes.
No.
Well, they're asking me, man, to see if I knew any place on the road. I remember an old fellow coming round about, Tom William. And the flesh used to shout, Yenash, to him, and whistle. And he used to put his two fingers in his ears, and man, how he could run. But there's one thing, Adam, he weren't fit. If he came foul on a woman that had a baby and she was giving suck to the baby, Tom had to get a draw at the tit.
Aye?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Oh, my. And he was...
And then another fella used to come round, man, was John Adorn. John was coming to China by and getting little slugs of flour and all this, and then he used to sell it to this little flesh that was keeping a pig. They used to buy it off him and they would give him threepence for about 2 stone, because there's flour and goodness knows what all mixed in it. Then he got into trouble. John got into trouble, man. They went and put the police on him. Aye, yes. There was a near relative. He took and went to the court. Old Johnny Lamotte, he was high bailiff that time, of Ramsey. And John was fetched up before him. So the evidence was given to John, and it looked pretty black. So Johnny turned to John and he asked him, is it correct that you are following women on the highway? Yes, John said, it's quite correct that I was going after them on the highway. But your worship, he said, what was I going to do? I had to go after them when I couldn't get in front of them. Now, he said, what about, he said, you got a wiser man. Fetched here, he said, look what you're at yourselves. Well, then we hear another queer fly coming round. Dan is gone. Dan would have a big southwester and an oil coat on him, the hottest day in summer. And Dan used to come and he would be asking at every house for a penny or a halfpenny, and if he didn't get that, he was wanting a basin full of flour. But anyway, that poor flat, Dan, old age, I suppose, he died. And he went over to Dan's parlour and took a big chest, I see, and he got £2,000 man in pennies and halfpennies.
Oh, man, man.
Aye.
And he'd be a relative of the Doran who had the cockles and mussels shop in Strand Street.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Well, he was a fine old age when he died, wasn't he?
Who, John?
Yes.
No, John weren't that old when he died at all.
No, Dan that was aged.
Dan?
Dan that was aged.
Aye.
86.
Yes.
Well, did you hear much Manx spoken in your younger days?
Yes. My mother could only count in Manx, couldn't count in English.
Mm. And you never picked it up at all?
No, I didn't. No. It's of no commercial value.
No, but you heard a lot spoken by...
Oh, what? They would be speaking Manx. There would be... She had a cousin. John Christian. And he would never be speaking anything else but Manx. There's another old farmer I used to come, Mr. Clayton from Sarsfield. He used to be in that, used to come to chapel, you know, every Sunday afternoon. And then he was coming in the house, coming in from 4 o'clock until it was 6, in for tea every Sunday. So, Manx would be going all the time. It didn't interest us very much, not then. No.
Well, old Jackie Neen, the blacksmith,
yes,
at Ballath, did you know him?
Oh, Johnny?
Yes.
Oh, I know Johnny since I was that height, man.
Yes? Since you're a little fella?
Oh, I was a little fella, yes. Johnny's a lot older than I.
Mm.
Yes. Johnny was with his father.
Mm.
Yes. I remember his father too, as well as it was yesterday, Johnny's father. Old Jackie.
Yes.
Jackie's about 96, isn't it?
Hmm?
Jackie's turned 96.
As Johnny? Yes, he will.
Yes.
Yes, there's another old fellow down there, just as old. John to you.
Yes,
is
he's in Jerby East now, isn't he?
Ah, yes. And then if you go over to the lager and go to you, to old Henny Curlett. Oh, well, Henny Curlett, I'd know to you in 100 or not.
Oh, he's alive yet then?
Alive, yes, a cust. Oh, well, how he can cust. He had a son there, a baker. A big friend of Cesar Ennett's.
Yes.
Oh, aye. Mm. Yes. Robbie Henny.